So we can become permanent residents in acquiring knowledge and not simply bypassers. First and foremost, we must recognize and understand the virtue of knowledge. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala in Surah Al-Mujadilah says, يَرْفَعِ اللَّهُ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا مِنْكُمْ وَالَّذِينَ أُوتُوا الْعِلْمَ دَرَجَاتٍ يرفع الله الذين آمنوا منكم والذين أوتوا العلم درجات. Allah will exalt, Allah will raise, Allah will honor those who believe amongst you and those who have been given knowledge in degrees. Now Allah said يرفع الله يرفع. Can any one of you think of another surah or another ayah where this term occurs? Not necessarily, it could be a derivative of it. It could be as a noun, as a, in the differences, present, past, whatever. But either way, can anything come, the same term occurs, يَرْفَعِ اللَّهِ يَرْفَعِ. Can you think of another surah, another ayah where this term occurs, not in the same exact form, in a different form, but the same basic letters, the same root word? I'll be waiting for your answers anxiously. Yes. I want an ayah. It's at the end of the Quran, towards the end of the Quran, in Juz' Amma, where this term occurs in a different form. The term which I'm looking for is yarfa. The ayah which I quoted now, Surah Al-Mujadilah, says yarfa illah. Allah will raise, Allah will exalt, Allah will honor. Can you think of another ayah where this term occurs? Keep trying. MashaAllah, tabarakallah. The monitors are on point. Yes, because maybe they're permanent residents, huh? Maybe they're not bypassers. Alam nashrah laka sadrak wa wada'na 'anka wizrak alladhi anqadha dhahrak wa rafa'na laka dhikrak. Rafa'na. And the ayah which I quoted earlier, يَرْفَعِ اللَّهِ, this one says, وَرَفَعْنَا. And what is the translation for the ayah? And we exalted your mention. How is that? The Prophet ﷺ is mentioned in adhan, in iqamah, in salah, and all the time, somewhere, someone is saying, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He's saying, the Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And we say, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when we hear his name, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So Allah exalted his mention. And here Allah says, Allah will exalt, raise, honor those who believe amongst you and those who were given knowledge in degrees. So one of the first means of encouragement for you and I to acquire knowledge, to learn the deen, is realizing that this is means of attaining Allah's honor. And I just delivered a lecture last night here in Jeddah at the International Medical Center, titled Da'wah, It's Your Honor and Dignity. And we spoke about the da'wah and the virtue of da'wah and why we should give da'wah. And it was really, you know, the lecture was predominantly to you now and this particular conception. The fact that, you know, honor is attained for the sake of Allah and by Allah and from Allah and to Allah through da'wah, and da'wah cannot exist without knowledge. Da'wah without knowledge is not da'wah, it's disasters. So the first thing for you and I to avoid being simply bypassers and strive to become permanent residents is realizing that it is means of honor in this life and in the life to come. If you want to be honored in this life and to come upon you, is seeking knowledge. To strengthen iman, seeking knowledge of the Deen of Islam. After strengthening one's iman, seek knowledge of the Deen of Islam. The honor which cannot be bought with fulus. You cannot buy it with money. Not with dollars, not with pounds, not with any other currency on earth which you guys deal with. Nothing can buy, money cannot buy honor. The person with money may be honored outwardly, either because the people who are honoring him have some worldly interest. They have some interest and they know that honoring this person is means for them to benefit from him or her. So this person receives honor. It's a fake honor. And if he were to lose the money, then the honor will be lost as well. The honor is not genuine. It may exist, I'm not going to deny it, but it is not genuine. However, the people of knowledge and the people of da'wah are honored not for any money they have, not because of the nice car they drive or the big house they live in. No, people honor them simply because they're involved in da'wah. That's it. And whether they are driving a fancy car or they're walking, you know, the honor will remain the same. In fact, they may honor them even more if they realize that these people make, you know, a lot of effort to give da'wah, and even though they may miss out on some of the worldly gains and what have you, it always works the other way around. So this is the honor which Allah instills in the hearts of people, for because this is how Allah Azza wa Jal made it in the Quran. يَرْفَعِ اللَّهُ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا مِنْكُمْ وَالَّذِينَ أُوتُوا الْعِلْمَ درجات. In degrees. Now you can't get that with money. This is what Allah does. And bypassers don't get to enjoy this particular privilege. They don't get to get that, their share of that honor and dignity. There's a deprivation. They are deprived. They may get some, but the one who's really stern and keen on learning and making the effort, which I ask Allah to make us among them, is not like the one who just, you know, hears lectures here and there and some reminders here and there and khalas. لَيْسُ سَوَى. They're not equal. They're not the same. The second reason why we should become permanent residents in seeking knowledge and not bypass, this is the occupations of the Prophet and the messengers. The prophets and the messengers, as the Prophet said, لم يورثوا درهما ولا دينارا ولكن ورثوا العلم فمن أخذه أخذ بحظ وافر. They did not leave behind any currency, any wealth, any treasure. They left behind knowledge. Whosoever acquires it has acquired an abundance of good. So if you want to inherit the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then you need to be among the permanent residents in seeking knowledge, because the inheritors of the prophets are the ulama, not the bypassers. The ulama, the scholars, those who, yani, they reach the level, excuse me, in knowledge that yani, it's mesmerizing. You know, you read the statements of the ulama. You know, you read the books of the scholars, and I mean, you probably can attest and testify to this fact. When you read a book, a really nice book, well written, eloquent, full of evidences and references, don't you say to yourself, MashaAllah, wow, how can someone know all this, man? You know, doesn't it just astonish you and you know, you just feel dumbfounded. Like, how can these people know all this? All this? This person authored this whole book? You read the book, Ibn Qayyim Zuhri, no problem. Zad al-Ma'ad was written by Ibn al-Qayyim on his way to Hajj. Mind you, he wasn't flying on, you know, American Airlines, and he wasn't flying or going on a ship or a boat, and he wasn't doing anything. He had to travel. He had to go to Hajj on an animal. And he wrote his book, which, depending on the publishers, can be up to 3 to 4 volumes. Up to 3 to 4 volumes. Okay? He wrote this from memory, man. The book Zad al-Ma'ad describes the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the details of his personal life in a way that you think is undoable. The Shaykh wrote it from memory, and he apologized in the beginning of the book that I'm traveling, I don't have my books and references. And he authored a book of hundreds of pages from memory, with narrations and the chain of narrators and the statements of the scholars. And you read and say, Subhanallah al-Azim, how much knowledge did these people have? You read the statements, the books of Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah ta'ala, or the statements, you read the books of Shaykh al-Albani, you read the books of Shaykh al-Albani, or you listen to some of his talks and his lectures, and he it's just Subhanallah, ajeeb. Now, these are the inheritors of the prophets. And how lovely it would be if one of us was also an inheritor of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. How is that done? By becoming a permanent resident of knowledge seeker, a knowledge seeker and a student of knowledge, as opposed to being a bypasser. Thirdly, the one who has knowledge is the one who, in fact, has found a way to Jannah. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, يَلْتَمِسُ فِيهِ عِلْمًا سَهَّلَ اللَّهُ لَهُ بِهِ طَرِيقًا إِلَى الْجَنَّةِ. Whosoever treads a path seeking knowledge therein, Allah will facilitate for this person a path which leads to paradise. Once you embark on this journey of acquiring knowledge, Allah will pave a way that will lead you to paradise. While you're learning, you're learning in this world, and you're actually simultaneously traveling upon the path and that has been paved by Allah, so you can make it to paradise while you're seeking knowledge of the deen. The bypasser gets a share of that, but the permanent resident is the one who gets to enjoy this in the ultimate sense. So the question is, how much time do we give for knowledge? Really? And I speak to myself first. I blame myself first. I'm not even speaking to you. Shh. Let me speak to myself. How much time have we dedicated for knowledge? How much time have we, used or utilized in a manner which will give us more knowledge? We often waste our time. Facebook for a couple of hours, and YouTube for a couple of hours, and video games for a couple of hours, and you left with nothing. You left with nothing. You say, I don't have time, brother. I don't have time to learn. Well, of course you don't have time to learn, because the time which you had to learn was spent in things which are of no benefit. And Facebook, man, this thing can be a real criminal. And inshallah, I can advertise here. I think I'm allowed to advertise my own stuff, even if it's in the future, inshallah, if Allah gives us life. I'll be delivering a lecture titled, Facebook Can Make You Face Hell. Facebook can make you face hell. And I will elaborate, inshallah, in the lecture on the pros and the cons of Facebook. And so we can reconsider whether we really need that thing. Of course, this is assuming that we're all using it for da'wah. Still, we will evaluate whether we need it. If we're not using it for da'wah, the answer should be known to most already. But anyways, that's later on, inshallah. I will not go, excuse me, ahead of myself. So a path leading one to Jannah. How is that done? By seeking knowledge. Now a question. Don't you want to go to Jannah? You looking at me, listening to me. Don't you want to go to Jannah?
I think so. If you didn't, you wouldn't come on this chat Islam, and you wouldn't be a Muslim, and you wouldn't pray five times a day, and you wouldn't even care. You would be out there partying right now. What's today's date? The 28th of December. Ooh, you know, we're getting close to that wicked holiday, that wicked celebration. Don't, of course, engage in any way, shape, or form. You could be doing something else. But alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen, you came here because you want to go to paradise. Well, the Prophet ﷺ is telling you that once you acquire knowledge, once you tread on the path, once you travel on the path to seek knowledge, then Allah will pave the way to that leads to paradise. So what do we want? Really, what the veil of want? And it's being presented before us, you know, for free. And how many of us actually do that? Again, a bypasser, someone who listens to lectures here and there, but they don't learn. They get admonishments, they get reminders, their heart softens a little bit. Yeah, I need to do better. They may do more ibadah. Say, let me go pray an extra sunnah, an extra nafilah, after they hear a reminder or something that encourages them to do good. Okay, alhamdulillah, that's beautiful. But there's no knowledge seeking. And what I'm trying to say here, the distinction we're trying to make here, is simply listening to talks and lectures on whether it is on monthly basis, yearly basis, weekly basis, or actually learning Islam. As in going over books, learning Arabic, understanding terminology, knowing the fiqh, the rules of fiqh, and what have you. All these things are what I'm referring to when I speak about the one who is a permanent resident in seeking knowledge. Someone who takes learning seriously, not someone who only listens. Because listening is one element, but there are many other elements of acquiring knowledge which we should integrate along with listening. And I'm speaking of those. So, these are the primary three reasons which I wanted to share with you this evening as means of encouraging myself and you, brothers and sisters in Islam, knowledge of the deen and the acquisition of the knowledge of the deen, so we can enhance our knowledge of Islam, we can become better du'at to Islam, we can, you know, travel upon the light of Allah Azza wa Jalla gives to those who are knowledgeable, and there's make it to light, with the light which Allah Azza wa Jal has given the people who have knowledge of Islam, and you know, just be able to lead a life of tranquility, contentment, happiness, satisfaction based on knowing the deen, as opposed to someone who's always dealing with doubts and refining a peace of mind, you know, bypasser may always be in a state of doubt, and he always needs some student of knowledge, is someone who shows the way, is the scholar who shows the way. So what do you prefer? Do you prefer to be shown the way, or do you prefer to show the way? You know, even in the English language, the passive and the active voices are not the same. Do you prefer to be shown the way, or do you prefer to show the way? When you're shown the way with an N at the end, someone shows you, you are in need of them. When you show the way, you are the one teaching, they are in need of you. And ultimately, everyone prefers to be needed, and not, they don't prefer to need anyone. So inshallah ta'ala, we ask Allah to facilitate our affairs and enable us to learn the matters of the deen and become permanent residents in seeking knowledge, and to facilitate our affairs and make the acquisition of knowledge easy, practical, feasible, and fruitful. Verily, he is able to do all things. And if you brothers and sisters have any questions, then we can entertain them right now, inshallah. Please follow the instructions given by the monitors as to how to present the questions, inshallah ta'ala, and we will deal with them.
Okay, question number one. I would like to quit my medical career and make Islamic education my career. Is that silly? No. No, it is not. To be honest with you, you answer my question. Do Muslims need more doctors or do they need more people of knowledge? You know the answer. And answer what you answer to your question. It is not silly. If you think you can excel and benefit the Muslims, go ahead. Wallahu alam. That's my personal opinion, of course. You don't have to necessarily agree with it. Are all the hadith of Riyadu al-Salihin sahih? Which book one should use to increase knowledge in Islam? No, not all the narrations in Riyadu al-Salihin by Imam al-Nawawi rahimahullah are authentic. There are weak narrations. And Shaykh al-Albani rahimahullah ta'ala had gone over the book and he authenticated the narrations and he graded the narrations according to their level of authenticity. And so if you refer to the print of the book or the copy of the book or the version of the book which has the revision and the grading of Sheikh Al-Albani, then you'll be fine and you can use it accordingly. Which book one should use to increase knowledge in Islam? The book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the Quran, and the tafsir of the Quran. And this books of the ulama on fiqh and the tafsir of hadith, like you can refer to the tafsir of Arba'in Nawawi by Sheikh bin Uthaymeen rahimahullah. Yani, the issue that we have is in the absence of the Arabic language, we are forced to refer to English material, and the English material is not always reliable. It often contains the personal biased position of the translator, and so sometimes they render the text with their two cents when they translate it. So you know, it's really not very not the healthiest thing in the world. If one is able to learn Arabic and then be able to get the knowledge from the source, then definitely this is much better, inshallah. Wallahu alam. Assalamu alaikum wa alaikum salam. All the da'i say that the privilege is vast. Can you brief up the basics required to give da'wah? Yeah, I'm gonna make it. Let us consider that Islam is the alphabet. Assume that Islam was the alphabet. And so if someone knows A, B, C, D, E, F, G, then they give da'wah to A, B, C, D, E, F, G. And if they know more than that, then they give da'wah to more than that. So give da'wah according to the concept of uniqueness and oneness of Allah. Otherwise, if someone doesn't understand the for example, the message of Surah Al-Ikhlas, قُلْ هُوَ اللَّهُ أَحَدٍ, then how is this person a Muslim to begin? If you know قُلْ هُوَ اللَّهُ أَحَدٍ and the concept of tawhid, hey, this is the minimum you're required to convey to the people. What happened here? Brother, this question: is it allowed to keep listening to a lecture or something along these lines when the adhan reminds? Well, if you mean by the adhan remind,
block what you have, then of course you may stand, and you're a sister, then surely you can continue. If you're to go to the masjid, if it's the real event. Now, how does this happen? Wait, I can't bring the box. You may make dua in your own language in the prayer or outside the prayer if you don't know the Arabic language, and whether that salah is obligatory or voluntary, it makes no difference. You can make dua in your own language, because Allah is the creator of languages and He understands them all. And Allah says, "Udu'uni astajib lakum." Call on me, I will respond to you. And if you're unable to call on Allah in Arabic, then you do so in a language which you know. As for the first question, making dua in your own language after salah is fine. Raising your hands, no. This is not from the sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ. Rather, it is a bid'ah. It is a bid'ah to raise one's hands while making dua after salah. Making dua after salah, we have a narration concerning that. Fine. But raising the hands along with that is the innovation, and it is not from the sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ. Wallahu ta'ala a'lam. Can we celebrate the New Year in 4 days' time? No, 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 no. New Year's is a Christian celebration. New Year's, many people don't know this. They think it's only Christmas. No, it's not only Christmas. And the evidence for that is that when does the year begin? It begins January 1st. The night of December 31st, the day of January 1st. And what do they call this? The Gregorian calendar. And what does the Gregorian calendar suggest? It suggests that this is 2010 years or 2011 years after Jesus, after Christ. So there you go. The whole thing came into existence in relation to supposedly the birth of the Son of God. So Muslims do not celebrate New Year's, and we don't have an Islamic New Year's either. We don't have one. Meaning when Muharram, the first of Muharram came, it is simply used for calculation purposes. There's absolutely no relation, there's no special dua, no special greeting, nothing of this nature, whether it is the Hijri calendar New Year or the Gregorian one, both are an innovated practices that we do not celebrate. We don't celebrate. Yes, the year begins in Muharram, but it doesn't mean anything else. Is it true that Islam QA has been banned in Saudi Arabia? Yes, it has. It's not a rumor, it's a fact. Alhamdulillah ala kulli hal. Assalamu alaykum wa alaykum assalam. I heard that a woman has to get permission to leave the house or do voluntary fast because I'm not yet married and I live alone and I'm the only Muslim in my family whose permission do I seek while my appointed is out of the country. Well, the permission of voluntary fast is only for a wife, not for any woman. Meaning a woman doesn't have to seek permission from anyone to fast voluntarily unless it is her husband. And needless to say, you can understand the wisdom behind why a woman may not fast voluntarily while married. If someone doesn't understand, I will elaborate. Let me just elaborate. Because her husband has a right, relations with his wife, and her fasting may deprive him of his right. His time may be tight, he may have other things to do and what have you. So she seeks his permission to do this from anyone except her husband. Only her husband, because only the husband may have such a need. No one else obviously is going to have such a need. As for leaving the house without permission, then yes, this has to be done. She leaves according to need. And again, if she's not married and there isn't a Muslim, then I don't know of anything which, you know, prohibits her from leaving if there's a need to do so. Again, most of the rulings you mentioned are pertaining to a husband and wife, and if you're not married, then they usually do not apply to you, and Allah knows best. Okay, if you guys are finished. Oh, never mind. And shall we refer to the case if you have a doubt? Many scholars still refer to its fatwas. It's confusing. Follow up by who? Wait. And shall we refer to it in case if we have a doubt? Many scholars refer to its fatwas. Yes, Islam QA is an excellent website, and is a very, very resourceful, authentic reference for those who are looking for fatwa. Needless to say, we cannot possibly endorse everything. It does happen by everyone, but generally and predominantly speaking, the website is simply fantastic. Use it, insha'Allah ta'ala, freely. This is what I believe. Those who disagree and have their reasons, and this don't necessarily agree with them. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. A question that is very important to me. I would like to know whether Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala could answer my prayer if I asked Him to change one or more aspects about my personality which He created in me, so that it becomes as part of my natural character or characteristics. Yes, inshallah, there's no harm in doing so. As to being able to tell you whether Allah will answer or not, then no one can give you that answer. It's Allah Azza wa Jal who decides whether He will respond to that request of yours or mine or not, according to His wisdom and knowledge. But does the concept of asking Allah to change, we ask Allah to change something in us, is that valid? Yes, it is valid. Because we have ad'iya from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam to that effect, where he would ask Allah azza wa jal to give him certain qualities which he desired to have in himself. And so, inshallah ta'ala, there should be no harm in doing so. I'm having trouble deciding where to go to seek Islamic knowledge. I see a few good options, but I need help deciding. Could you please help, inshallah? Aris Institute, Sunni Path Online Academy, Islamic Online University by Dr. Bilal Phillips. Well, I don't know about the first two, so I cannot really say anything about them. The third one is quite good, even though in recent times I was very disappointed when I went to the website and I saw that they had images of women on the front page of the IOU website, women, some of them who were not dressed modestly, and men who were clean-shaved and what have you. I emailed Dr. Bilal. I'm assuming that he never got to see this yet, or I'm assuming this is happening without, not under his immediate supervision, knowing Dr. Bilal and his keenness on the Sunnah and what have you. I don't think this would come from him. Perhaps the people who are running the website on his behalf are acting on their own. I did email him and address this issue and mention it to him. I just wanted to make that comment because this is it's an amana, it's a trust which I have to convey to you. The deen is religion is sincere advice, and we're not by any way, shape, or form undermining the doctor or the website. It's an excellent website for those who want to seek knowledge, and you can still refer to it. But you know, if you see that if that thing is still on the front page, then this is Islamically not necessarily acceptable. Nah. Wallahu a'lam. I don't know about the first two institutes, like I said. Assalamu alaikum, brother. When we go to sujood in salah, should we put our knees first or our hands, give reference to a hadith? This is one of the issues which the scholars, and you really have to read their statements. But I'll tell you that personally, I'm with the position that you put your hands first. Because the Prophet ﷺ said, do not go down like the camel does. And it's known that the camel goes down with their knees first. So you go down with your hands first. So you will not be resembling the camel. This is what I know. And like I said, the issue is very, very intricate. Or the technicalities of it are quite hectic. So, you know, Allahu A'lam. What if a person raises his hands occasionally after salah? Is it a bid'ah too? Yes. Even though some of the ulama did say that if it's done occasionally, it's fine. Let me stick to that fatwa. Yani, but here we have the issue of occasionally. What does occasionally mean? They say if you felt that there's a need, that you really were sincere, you wanted to make dua, you have some situation, some urgent matter in your life, and you felt like you just want to make dua, and you just so happened to raise your hand, and it just so happened that it was after salah, this is what is meant by occasionally. It doesn't mean that, you know, twice a week or once a week, we do it. That occasionally becomes a bid'ah. I hope that is clear. How about chatting online with non-mahram or people from opposite sex? That's a big no. That's a big no, ya chief. That's a big no-no, Habibi. Look, man, you ask, as soon as a male chats with a female, usually they fall in love within 60 seconds. Some people say, yeah, right, you know I'm not lying. You know I'm not lying. Within 60 seconds, man, khalas. They've never seen each other, they don't know anything about each other. As soon as the few kind words are shared, it's over. Brother's thinking about the sister in the salah, and the sister's thinking about the brother in the salah, and if in the salah we're thinking about the opposite sex, then don't ask what we will be doing outside the salah. No, chief. No. Men love women, and women love men. That's how Allah created us. And He put guidelines to keep this love contained. So it can only be expressed legally. If we go through the illegal channels, we will not prosper. You gotta leave that stuff alone. Okay? People fall in love very easily online through chatting. Somehow. You say, how come? Say, these are where the shayateen are. This is where the shayateen sit. So naturally, people will fall in love quite quickly. I'm sure some of you may agree with that. Had that experience, say, alhamdulillah, that Allah protected you. And be careful in the future.
I'm assuming that's it. If there's one more question, monitor, we can address it. And then we will conclude inshallah. You guys hear me? Or is it frozen or what? Okay, good. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi. Assalamu alaikum wa alaikum salam. Is teaching Islamic values, knowledge to kindergarten or older children considered to be a component? Yes, it may be the most important. It may be one of the most important components. Why? Because you are instilling in them the understanding of the deen. You're actually building the foundation. The stronger the foundation, the stronger the branches. The root, if it's sound, then the branches will be sound. And you're actually dealing with the most sensitive stage. Letting them know Allah and recognize in the deen of Islam, even at that young age, is means of keeping them, inshallah ta'ala, firm on the deen in the future. So jazakumullah khairan. For Jazakallah Khairan, the one who's given da'wah to these children, don't underestimate or undermine what you're doing. Continue to do what you're doing. Last question, can a Muslim woman live alone? Yes, under certain conditions and based on necessities. If it is necessary, she is in an area where she can be protected, it's free from fitna, and there's a need for her to do so, then yes. Otherwise, no. But if there's a need for it, and she's in a situation where she has to live alone, and she can protect herself, there's no temptation, there's no mixing with strange men, and she's not in the area where she may be raped, or may be attacked, or may be harassed, or may be molested. Whatever. If all these, are absent, and there's a need to be alone, then yes. Otherwise, no. Okay. Okay. The last question, I guess, is it permissible that a potential spouse can ask your ethnicity the first time you speak? Yes. Why not? Is that it, you guys? Okay, barakallahu feekum, jazakumullahu khairan. May Allah bless all of you abundantly and six more. Ouch. Okay, we'll take it, but don't take anything else. We'll take the six. Yalla, bring him, ya Sheikh. Bring him, Allah musta'an. Sarrif kulubana or isrif kulubana atati. Can you translate this, please? Yes. Meaning... how would I translate? Meaning, direct our hearts in your obedience. Our hearts towards your obedience. The first part of the dua, اقرأ قلوبنا على دينك. O Allah, the one who turns the hearts over, keep our hearts firm on your deen. O Allah, the one who directs and the hearts, direct our hearts towards your obedience. Next. Wife fasting in normal days make an ash fast. Her husband returns from another country unexpectedly. Should she break the fast? She can ask him. But usually... Next. uh, Assalamu alaikum. I heard that saying, yeah, Muhammad is not permissible in Islam. Is it true or not, and why is this? Well, it depends. If someone is saying, yeah, Muhammad on him, like you say, ya Allah, oh Allah, help, oh Allah, guide, oh Allah, bless. If someone calls on the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam in this fashion, then this is shirk, and it is not allowed in Islam, because it's calling on to someone but Allah. And Allah says in the Quran in Surah Al-Jinn, وَأَنَّ الْمَسَاجِدَ لِلَّهِ فَلَا تَدْعُوا مَعَ اللَّهِ أَحَدًا. And verily the places of prostration belong to Allah, so do not call on anyone beside Him. Don't call on anyone beside Allah. وَلَا تَجْعَلْ مَعَ اللَّهِ إِلَهًا أَخَرٍ. Don't make other gods along with Allah. The whole deen of Islam came to keep the one God as one God, unique, and you don't worship or call on to anyone beside Him. But if someone said, Ya Muhammad, and they do not mean to be calling him so that he can answer, then this is fine. So like some people may say this in some context, it's not very common, but if the intent makes a difference. But most of the people today will say, yeah, Muhammad, they're calling on him besides Allah, which is major shirk. If they were to die on this without repenting, they may never go to Jannah. Is there a hadith where it says that there's a dua you can make if you owe someone money, and if you make that dua you will be forgiven in the hereafter, inshallah, please explain, brother. I don't know of such a dua. I know of a dua that if you are in debt, that you make that dua and Allah Azza wa Jal will help you pay off the debt. But I don't know about this dua getting you forgiven in the hereafter, because the rights of the people is the rights of the people. So Allahu A'lam. And I'm trying to remember the dua right now, which the Prophet ﷺ told the Sahabi. He walked in, he saw a Sahabi looking sad and depressed in the masjid. He said, what is the matter? He told him the debt had overburdened me. Then he taught him the dua. And if I remember correctly, it was Allahumma kfini bi halalika an haramik wa aghnini bi fadlika amman siwak. Wallahu ta'ala a'lam. Ala kulli hal, I need to refer back to the sources and get the actual narration. Maybe some of the monitors can aid us in the meantime. Ala kulli hal, I don't know if this is helping someone in the life to come. Assalamu alaikum wa alaikum salam. Can we make dua and sujood while praying? Yes, you can. You better do it. You better do it. This is the best time. The Prophet ﷺ said the best time, the closest you are to Allah is during sujood. So make dua. It is most likely that you will be answered. Okay, that's the time to make dua, needless to say. Assalamu alaikum. I would like to ask, are these Shahristan speeches of Musab recorded? Yes. Go to hearislam.com. Oh, mashallah. Okay, that's it. Zakum la khayran and barakallah feekum wa narakum lahiqan inshaAllah. Wassalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.